Welcome back to the Better Every Day podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful wife, Grace Garcia. And this today is episode 28. Let's go. Woo! We're happy. We're proud. As you guys know, the way that we kind of see this is we're kind of going on a journey because we are not perfect. You guys aren't perfect. And being better every day means that we're improving every single day. That's what our efforts are going into, right? We don't want to stay stagnant because we believe that if you're stagnant, you're actually not stagnant. You're actually going back. And I say that we're going on this journey together because hopefully you guys are gaining things from these episodes. You guys are thinking about things. You guys are maybe putting things into action. And we also are holding each other accountable. We're pushing each other. We're trying to get better every single day. We don't want to stay the same. We want to continue moving up. We want to continue getting wise. We're reading books. We're doing everything that we can to continue moving forward, right? Again, we are not perfect in that process. If you guys saw our day-to-day life, maybe you might be like, you guys, you know, are slacking a little bit, you know? But the point is that the efforts are there. Well, we're trying to do our best. And with that being said, as we're going through this journey, we've mentioned it, I'm going on one-on-one therapy. And in this last session that I had, I came to the realization, well, the therapist helped me come to the realization that most of my life, I've felt like nobody really has my back. And I feel like I've been kind of fending for myself since a young age. And maybe some of you guys feel the same way. And this is the reason why I'm sharing it. Maybe you feel like that right now, or you felt like that before. But most of my life, I felt like I've, you know, kind of had to have my own back. And the crazy thing is that this therapist then tells me, if you could go back in time and speak to little David, what would you tell him? Because I was telling him that, you know, like I always got disciplined. I couldn't do anything wrong. Like it made me kind of like almost like a habitual liar because I never wanted to get caught doing anything, even things that were like innocent, just because I knew that I was going to get disciplined. I was going to yell at. I was going to feel bad, so on and so forth. Right. And so he said, what would you say to little David? And I said, you know what I would say? I would say that it's okay to be a kid. It's okay to make mistakes, that there is grace, that I would help him, that I would protect him. And then I was also saying, like, I wish I could go back in time and stay there and be that mentor or be that person that made little David like feel like he was protected, looked after, that somebody wanted to teach him things, right? Because again, I felt like a good amount of stuff I had to figure out on my own. And I've kind of always had that, I guess, chip on my shoulder where like, oh, I don't know how to do something. I'll figure it out. Like I'll figure it out. And the reason why I say that and kind of putting that together with us walking in a journey is the reason why we do these episodes. Now I'm personally starting to realize is that I told the therapist, I'm like, you know what I'm grateful for is that, yeah, I grew up most of my life feeling like I had to fend for myself. But I also see my situation in other people, and I tend to like run towards them and just like, hey, like, I'll help you like any way that I can. Like when people ask for help, I'm like joyful, right? And it's just because I see myself in them, right? And so that's one of the reasons why I do these episodes, is because I know that there's people out there, you listeners, you might feel like this, like, I don't really have anybody that has my back. I don't really have a mentor. I don't really have anybody that can teach me things. I don't have anybody really that loves me or has, you know, like just that feeling of just security, I guess. I never had it. And so you guys might be in that same situation. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because every single time that we have these episodes, we're trying to provoke a thought. We're trying to provoke Maybe I should do things differently. Maybe I should improve in these areas. And hopefully we are giving tips, or we're giving like wisdom to be able to move towards where you actually want to be, right? And maybe we're not very like personal of like, we're there with you every single day, but hey, we're here weekly and we've always been open to, hey, if you guys ever want to reach out to us, we're open. I usually text back really quick. My wife usually takes a little bit while, but she's very, very busy. And sometimes she just forgets, but it's okay. She's getting better in that.
I'll get better every day.
I just wanted to share a little bit of my heart in regards to why I've realized like why this podcast is so important to me, and not only the podcast, but just being able to help people in general. And so moving forward, today we are actually talking about how we are going broke. That is the title of this episode. We are going broke. And you guys might be looking at us like, what the heck? You guys have talked about finances and being wise and yada, yada, yada. And you guys are going broke? We'll get there. I remember we talked about it in the first episode of finances, kind of like our upbringing, how we were. I spoke about how right before getting married, I had like $5,000 to $10,000 worth of debt. Did you have any debt before we got married?
I believe I had close to $1,000. Remember my college credit card?
Oh, yeah. And then your student loans, right?
At that point, I didn't have any student loans. I started accumulating student loans when we were married.
Oh, okay. All right. So you had $1,000, which is, you know, maybe not a big deal. But how long did you have those $1,000 for? From the moment that you maxed it out and then to when we paid it off?
Oh, I don't remember when I maxed it out. Probably within a year. I got a credit card because I was in college and I didn't work full time. Mm-hmm. And my mom at the time thought it was a good idea. I don't know why, if she's like, oh, this girl is not working, but.
Did she never explain it to you why she got you a credit card? Like somebody might think like, oh, I'm getting you this so you can start working on your credit today.
Yeah, it was definitely for credit.
Okay.
She always thought credit cards were the way to go to boost your credit. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I turned 18 and I was in college, she gave me the credit card, or we went together to go get the credit card. And then I used it for books and meals and meals and meals.
The food, a lot of
food.
Yeah,
it was a lot of food. So, and I was under the assumption like she might be paying this. And sometimes she did when I guess she could. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she didn't. And then until she just didn't. And so, yeah, it was $1,000-something. And then after college, I didn't really use it because I think it was, that was it.
You were maxed out.
Yeah, because I think it was like $1,000 limit or something.
Yeah.
And so I didn't use it. And then when we got married, I like told you about it. But you were like, oh, it's $1,000. And you paid it off pretty quick.
Yeah. And when you got that credit card, like your mom got it for you, right? So did she ever explain like, this is how credit cards work, or like, you know, make sure you pay it off really fast, or like, does she ever explain any of that?
No, I kind of already knew. So maybe she did, like at least with Mercy, I would hear her talk to Mercy, my older sister, of how credit cards work. Mm-hmm. She did the same thing with my older sister, but her credit kind of got ruined because of that. Because it's like Nordstrom cards. Oh, well, use it to lift your credit. And then just slowly it was like getting into debt. So I knew how it worked, but there was no real conversation. Is like, are you going to pay this for me? Or do you expect me, someone who's not really working, to pay it off? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know what the expectations were. Mm-hmm. But I knew ideally you want to use it and then quickly pay back. Use it, quickly pay back.
Yeah.
And ideally not use what you don't have. But yeah. I didn't have anything.
Yeah. And so mine was credit cards. I believe it was one. I only got one credit card. It was a credit card and it was a student line of credit that I had gotten.
A student loan, right?
Kind of like a student loan. Yeah. I don't know how it's different. That part I don't really know that much, but it's basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I had a student line of credit, and I remember the only reason that I got the student line of credit is because my parents were on me of like, you need a degree. So I went to like, in Winnipeg, it's one of the, like, almost everyone goes there. It's like a technical college, but like, It's very popular. It's called Red River College. And so I went to Red River College for 1 year to get a certificate. It's a automotive technician certificate, just so I could show it to my parents. Like, here, I went to school. I did great. Done. Right. And I remember it was somewhere between $5,000 to $10,000, I think, the student line of credit.
That's kind of expensive.
And I remember I didn't even use all the amount for school. But then I noticed that I could actually pull out of it if I wanted to. And so I pulled out of it and I forgot what I used it for.
So it's like your FAFSA.
I guess. But so I maxed it out. And then I was just paying the minimum payments. And it was just always maxed out. Minimum payments. And I, like you, my parents were always like against credit cards because they had gone through bankruptcy before. And so they never explained credit cards to me. They were just like, never get a credit card. But when I turned 18, I'm like, I could sign up for a credit card, whatever, big deal. Like, and I did. And I think I remember, like, the only reason why I got it was I just wanted to see if I could get it.
Yeah.
And I was got approved pretty quickly. And I think that one got built up. I think it started with like $1,000 as well, but it got built up to either $2,500 or $5,000, one of that. And I ended up maxing it out as well. And a lot of us go through credit card debt. And it's either because our parents didn't really know much about credit cards, didn't really like understand the responsibility or the weight of having a credit card. My parents did, but they never explained it to me. They just said, never have a credit card. And I've always kind of been like that kid that like, don't do something. I'm like, well, guess what? I'm going to do it. Like, it's just cause, you know, but how many of us or how many of you listeners, A, have credit card debt right now or have had it before? And then the same question rings. Why did you max it out? Why have you gone so far to like the point of like, oh, I don't really have the money to pay for it, right? You said it was like food. You didn't have a job at the time, right? So like, how were you even, how did your mom even think that you were going to pay that back?
I don't know. I did have babysitting gigs here and there. It was not consistent at all. It was like whenever I could, because I was working. So that's why I was under the assumption she's going to help, because she made it seem like I'm going to help you pay it. And I'm sure they were going through their own financial struggles, because that's why I had to leave my school the first year. They couldn't afford it and they didn't want to get a loan. So they did put me through the first school year without any debt that I'm aware of, at least loans. I don't know if they borrowed. I know they borrowed money from people. I don't know if they ever paid it back. I hope so, and things like that. But she didn't want to take out loans from like the government or private loans for that matter. And so, yeah, she told me she was going to help me. And so I think she really in her heart genuinely thought she was going to help me pay that credit card and help me build my credit. But then when she realized, like, okay, money is tight and like our bills need to be paid and this school needs to be paid, that's kind of when she would like forget about it. And was like, well, hopefully she gets
it. It was just convenient to forget.
I guess, because it's not really hers.
Yeah. Jeez. But yeah, like, I feel like with credit cards, I feel like a lot of people don't understand the responsibility of having a credit card. And it's just because, and you could give your point of view as well, but like in my point of view, like obviously banks make money off of credit cards, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a balance at the end of the month, they go, okay, cool. You have a balance of, let's say $1,000. So we get, it might be like 20%, 22% of, and that's spread over a year divided by 12, whatever. So it ends up being like 2%, right? Every month. Great. We got 2% of that $1,000 that you have there. So you're putting $20 in the pockets of the bank just for having a balance.
Yeah.
And they go, sweet, that's free money. We lent you money, because that's what it is. The bank goes, here, we will lend you money. But if you have a balance at the end of the month, we're going to grab some interest off of that. And that's how we're going to make money, because it wouldn't make sense for somebody to, or a bank to loan money and never make anything back. It's just like, okay, I'm just giving you free money.
Yeah.
Right. So you're always required to pay it back. And the thing is that a lot of people go, oh, like I got approved for a credit card. I got $5,000, and they feel like they have $5,000 in the bank account, which they don't. That a lot of people don't understand that, or just it gets ahead of them, because I feel like there's some people that get a credit card. And I remember when I was younger, there was this one kid and he had a credit card that was, I think, up to like $35,000. And he was so proud of it. It's like, oh, I have a $35,000 credit card. And it's like, I feel like sometimes people skew it and just like, oh, God is so good. Like, I have a $35,000 credit card, but they don't understand the weight of that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I don't know if you've ever had anybody like that in your life.
No, but I have heard of people when it comes to like cars and they like leased it. Mm-hmm. And I similarly think now, because before I would be like, oh, congratulations on your new car. And now I'm just like, that's a lot of money you're paying and it's not even yours, or it's going to be a long time until it's yours. Mm-hmm. And so that being proud of like being in debt for a really long time, I don't really understand it.
Okay. And the cars part, we'll get there, because I did have that on the list. But with credit cards, it's just like people go like, and I feel like people have this false sense of security of, I always have money coming in. Every 2 weeks, every week, I got money coming in because I have a job. Mm-hmm. But especially right now when people are talking about the fears of possible recession. And if those recessionary fears actually end up being true, there's going to be a lot of layoffs happening. And you don't know if you're going to be able to keep your job or not. Right. And I believe the last time that we talked about it, we talked about one of the baby steps should be that you have a 3 to 6 months amount of money in the bank account. In case you were to lose your money, you'd be like, OK, I have something to fall back on. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't have anything to fall back on. They get a credit card and they go, well, I have a job. I'll just be able to pay it off. They go like, oh, I want that, let's say, $2,000 MacBook laptop. Oh, I'll just pay it on the credit card and, you know, it'll take me like 6-10 months to pay it off if I pay it off like this. And how many of you guys have done that plan where you go, oh, I'll pay it off in 10 months. I'll put $250 towards it. And how many of those months you actually put the $250 towards it? There's a lot of people that are not very disciplined like that.
Yeah.
Because again, you put $2,000 on the credit card, but then, oh, you felt like eating out and you didn't really have the money for it. Oh, I'll put it on the credit card. Or maybe you did have the money for it, but you forgot to pay it. And now this credit card is just stacking up and stacking up. And we believe that if you have debt, you are now a slave to the people that have borrowed you that money. Mm-hmm. And you're a slave to those people. But those people are not really whipping you. They're okay with you having a balance, because every single month they expect that interest. And that's free money for them. That's passive income to them. As long as you have a balance, and that's what they really want. And that's why when you have like, I don't know if it's ever happened to you guys, but it has happened to us, where I think there was one time one of your credit cards got increased without us even knowing.
Yeah, it was that one, the college credit. We paid it off and we like forgot about it. They're like, oh, it's up to $5,000. And we're like,
we didn't ask for it. And it's crazy that like, the banks are really trying to almost like market. I don't really know how they do it.
Like,
but
persuade you,
or like, it's just the American culture where it's like, use credit. It's free money. Yeah. It's not free money, but there's free money. Like, you just have it. You can have whatever you want now. You don't have to wait to save or work and get it later. Like, banks do not believe in delayed gratification. They want you to be gratified now because it benefits them, right? And so that is one of the ways where, you know, people end up going broke, because they let all that credit just run wild. And then you just like get to a point where like, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. So what would you, as a parent, how would you start educating Elijah or getting him used to it? Because I think it could be one of two ways, right? You say like, no, 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 no. But then through that, you kind of make it this forbidden fruit that seems so enticing that it's like, okay, as soon as my dad's off my back, I'm just going to go for it. Mm-hmm. Or our hope is that you educate them, show them why. But it's still like one day, sooner or later, that is going to appear to him, mm-hmm. that temptation, that opportunity. And he can say, oh, I have all the wisdom, like, I'll do it good. But you never know how you truly will be until you're in that situation. If you have that willpower of like, okay, I can use this wisely. or if you feel that like free, quote unquote, freedom for the first time, and it becomes like catnip and you're just like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So what is it in humans that majority of people get, I guess, hooked onto that credit card and they fall prey to it? Like, what is it? And so how can we start educating or like rewiring our brain, or if we have kids, kind of edify them so that when they get that opportunity, they don't fall for it?
That is a great question. That is, no, I'm serious. That's a great question.
Thank you.
And the way that I'm going to answer it is, and you can add to this, but I feel like people spend money for three things. Basic needs. Mm-hmm. Everybody has to pay those things. Status. They want to be able to impress somebody. Convenience. Would you add anything to that?
No, I think right now I can't think of anything. I think that pretty much covers it.
And so basic needs, I mean, it's universal, right? We all have bills to pay. I mean, we choose the ones, but the usual ones, it's rent or mortgage. You know, you need electricity, you need water, the ones that you basically need, right? But the other two, status and convenience, are the killers. The biggest killer for a lot of people, I believe, is the convenience one, which is food. How many of us just like, I don't want to cook. Swipe. It's the weekend. Swipe. Date night. Swipe. You know, there's many reasons, right? If you are on a budget, you should stick to the budget, right? But a lot of people that, I think the majority don't have, I don't have the statistics, but I believe a lot of people don't really have a very like set budget. They just go like, especially the ones that go like, I'm good. Like, I have money left over. No big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Convenience. So the food is a big one. And not only the convenience part, but then the food also becomes addictive. We've talked about it in the health episode, where it's the sugars and the salts, where your brain goes like, yeah, that feels so good. Getting those dopamine hits. It's mm-hmm. just like, it's just the culmination. And these companies that sell these products know it.
Yeah.
And they exploit it. Same thing with the banks. I feel like they exploit people's weaknesses. They exploit people's like, we know that you want it now, mm-hmm. you know?
And not only that, but they, I guess, market, how you said, off your weaknesses and even reward it, where it's like, if you shop at like, I don't think Panda Express or In-N-Out, like, we'll give you points back. Mm-hmm. And they mm-hmm. market back and like, oh, not only are you getting what you want, but now we're rewarding it. So it's like double,
yeah,
like just affirming and reward. And they know, I'm sure there's psychologists working on their team, that it's like you reward the behavior, they're just going to continue to do it.
And it's crazy. Right now, I started reading this book about storytelling. And like right now that you just said that, it's like this whole ball of just like an attack on people. Like it sounds really like dark when you say it like that, but that's how I feel it is. It's like an attack. Like, we're going to exploit you for everything, right? We're going to exploit you because you want the dopamine hit for the taste. Oh, like you feel satisfied with that certain food. Like with healthy foods, you're not going to feel satisfied, you know? Like, the memories, the stories that you're telling yourself, like, oh, I remember when my parents used to bring me here, and like the memories, oh my gosh, like mm-hmm. the rewards, like if you eat here, like on the 10th time, you get a free whatchamacallit. They give you a reason to come back. Like all these things, they're trying to do everything possible to get their hooks into you and not let you go.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the banks. But let's talk about the other part too, the status. Okay. Growing up, As a boy, as a man, I remember the biggest like thing of status for a boy or a man is what?
Their car.
Car. A, that you have a car, and B, that you have a sexy car. I did not have a sexy car. I got lucky and I was able to buy my purple Ford Aspire for $600 off my dad. That thing was not pretty, like it's not something like, yeah, vroom, 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 yeah, look at me, ladies. Like it was purple. It was just like a little dinky toy looking car. But for me, I was like, I've never really cared too much about, you know, the status with the cars. I don't know why, but I've just never cared. But I see a lot of boys, young men that just like, my car is the symbol of my status. My car, it needs to be a nice car. It needs to be flashy. It needs to be upgraded. It needs to sound loud. It needs to have all the bells and whistles. Like, they get you so bad with those cars. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just this feeling of like status. And we can dig just a little bit deep into that of like, what does that mean? Like, what is it that you think that these men, young men, feel when they have that car, right? Like, they feel like they want to be admired.
Yeah.
They feel this validation, especially when they have girls coming up like, wow, that's a nice car. That's validation. They feel like the man of all men. There is no more manlier man than them.
But and I wonder if girls do say that.
I think some do.
I think most guy, I don't know. I feel like guys do it for the guys, like to kind of set themselves apart from other guys.
Yeah, it's that.
Because that every time, at least to me personally, I'd love to hear what you guys think. Like, a car is revved and it's like annoying. Like the vroom, I'm just like eye roll. Like, oh, so annoying.
You're giving your personal opinion,
but I think men do it. It's kind of like psychologically, like the jungle, or you're back to primitive time, and it's like men fighting for like their territory, mm-hmm. or like, look at me, I'm the alpha, I'm the one that's gonna get the girls. But it's not necessarily towards the girls, but it's like telling the guys, like, back off.
Yeah, it could be very primitive. Like, what is it, lions, whoever has like the largest mane, mm-hmm. or whatever, or like when they fight.
I think that's what it is.
It could be that. Yeah, it could be both. I mean, there's a sense of setting apart, but also of confidence. Mm-hmm. I feel like the ones, it might be false confidence, but they have the confidence. Like, if you have a brand new Mustang tricked out and everything, just like, yeah. Especially in high school, like, I'm the guy, my parents have money, that gives them confidence. I have a nice car, gives them confidence, like all these things. And it's just like, I think there's a desire in a lot of us, even women. Like, if you look at women, like, what is the thing that gives women status?
I think it's our looks. And so women focus on their makeup, their hair, their nails, their clothes, their bags. It's our outward appearance.
Yeah, the outward appearance. Some of them do Botox or whatever to look a certain way. Mm-hmm. The lip fillers, like you said, the bags, Chanel bags and Louis Vuitton bags. And like, a Louis Vuitton bag is what? Like, no cheaper than $1,800, $2,000 nowadays. Just like, for a little bag. A little bag. Just a little bag.
A little.
Just, you're paying for the name, right? And it's the status, right? And so, like, let's talk about that. Like, do we feel like that is a correct thing to dig into? And if not, what should be the mind change? What should be the mindset change? Because I feel like everybody, whether even some of the people that are like humble, like there's some people, I think it's rare when I don't hear somebody like, I do dream of like having nice stuff. You know, I'm okay with not having it now, but I do dream of having nice stuff. Mm-hmm. I do dream of having a nice car. I do dream of having a nice house. I do dream of having like a Gucci suit or whatever. Like, so like, A, why do you think people want that status? You think it's the same thing? Like, set them apart?
No. At least for me, what I think is, like, society has hyped it up. Mm-hmm. Gucci means you've made it.
Yeah.
Gucci means that you were successful in your career to the point where now you have way more than enough. And so it's not necessarily like, look at me, you guys, I'm better than you, I'm more powerful. It's validation of my life's work meant something. Mm-hmm. And I am now a place where I'm insecure, and I did it. Like, I did my life's work. Mm-hmm. For some reason, it's like in a tangible item, and like, I can afford this and still have some left over. At least for me, that's what it is.
And do you feel like people are heavily influenced by culture and society? The reason why I say that is because when I look at Gucci and I look at all these brand names, right? I just ask myself one question. Who put value on these brands?
Oh yeah, it has to be people from the top. And I don't understand. Like, there's some where I'm like, okay, that looks nice. And there's things, I can't even remember the name. It's like Golden Goose or Goose something, where the shoes are purposely made to look dirty and like ripped. Mm. And they cost a lot of money. And I'm just like, why would anyone buy them? But so many, from small girls to older women, like buy them. But I think someone at the top had to say, this is cool. Like, this means it. And so when they see someone there where they want to be there, they're like, okay, this is what it is.
It's all marketing.
Yeah.
It's all marketing. It's all like, how do we market and make this the next cool thing? This, if you have this thing, you have the status. You're above levels, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, the biggest one I see on YouTube and stuff, like the not yet made it rappers, where they're flashing their money and they're on the Lambos or whatever. And then, like, I see a lot of YouTube videos where it's like, oh, you've been exposed, like that. You were renting that car. That car's not even yours or whatever. Yeah. It's just for the sake of like, look at me. Like, I have the status. I've made it. You know, like, mm-hmm. I have all the girls, or I have, you know, all the bags. I have all the, you know, all this stuff. And it's that is one of the driving factors that will drive people to poverty. I highly believe it. And again, it's just like all of our weaknesses get exposed. The weakness of like wanting to be at that level. The weakness of like, I see so-and-so at that level and I want to be there. And like, okay, let's go back to the car. How many people have you seen where they get a new job and they made, you know, they make $10,000 more or whatever, maybe more. And the first thing that they want to do is what? Buy a car. Buy a car because, like you said, it's that validation of I've worked hard, I'm smart enough, and now I have this position. And because I have this position, here's my validation. I have a brand new car. This brand new car says that I've made it, that I have enough money to pay for it, and I'm at a good level. And especially the people, okay, like maybe like touching wrong strings here, but like, especially the people that take the picture of it and go put on Instagram, like, oh God, thank you so much for this new car. Like, and then everyone's like, oh God bless you. Like, that's amazing. Congratulations, blah, blah, blah. Okay. This is one of my pet peeves, right? And we're going to talk about it really quickly. Okay. We're going to talk about some math. Okay. Most of the time you get a brand new car. If you're going to finance it, which means that you're going to own it eventually, usually the loans are 50 to 72 months. Most people, especially Hispanics, will pick what? The 72 months. Why? Because the monthly payments are smaller. Okay? And the crazy thing is, the moment that you drive the car off the lot, you lose 10%. Okay? All this math is going to be right here. I'm going to put it up. The average car is about $35,000, okay? I'm going to do the math on that $35,000, but let's be realistic. When you go to a car dealership, who wants to get a basic $35,000 car? Not many people. People want, again, flashy, status. You want the bells and whistles. You want the certain color. You want the certain feature, whatever. Like, I remember when we got the Corolla. The one thing that you always wanted to show people was, I don't even need my keys to open my car. I just go swipe my little hand over the handle and boop, it's open. I remember you were so happy and so proud about that. Every time people we knew were around, you wanted to show them that. That was, I feel like to you.
Oh. I want it now, but for security, because I lose my keys or it's just quicker to get in. Like, get in, kids.
Okay. But at that moment, I feel like that was like, you're like, yeah, look at me. I got this feature, okay? So $35,000 car, 72 months. The interest rate right now is 6.8. The moment that you drive that car off the lot, you lose 10%. So $35,000 turns into $31,500, okay? You just lost 10% driving it out. Not only that, your payments are going to be $593.36. And if you reach the term, I hope that you reach the end of that term. 72 months, that $35,000 turns into $49,196.89. That means that you paid $14,000 plus dollars on top of the original $35,000 price. And you lost 10% driving it off. So I want you guys to see that buying a car is not a smart investment. Mm. It should not be the status of like, I made it. Just because you can afford the monthly payments does not, that is, should not be a validation of I made it. It should not. It's a bad investment. You should be investing in index funds, mutual funds, your 401k. Those are good investments. Those are going to make you money. Those are going to appreciate. A car is a depreciating value investment. You lose money on it every single time. Okay. Nobody wants a $35,000 car. You want the new rims. You want the look. You want people to look at your car and be like, wow, that's a nice car. $50,000, 72 months, 6.8 interest. $50,000, your monthly payments are $847.66. And your total that you pay is $69,081.27. That means you're paying almost $20,000 more. And again, you lost 10%. So that $50,000 actually turned into $45,000. And every single year that you drive it, it depreciates even more. So by the time that you are done, and I don't have the exact math on this, but like 50,000, the time that you are done, 72 months, I said, what is that? That's 6 years that you're paying. Let's say it depreciates 10% every single time. You're at like what? The car is worth probably less than 30,000. And then you ended up paying 70,000 for the car. That's insane.
Yeah.
And like, how many people don't know that? How many people just like go like, I've heard so many people go like, I don't care about the math. Tell me how much I have to pay every month. I need to know if I can afford paying it every month. But they don't know the whole story. And again, that status, that all the commercials like, you want to be in a nice car. Like, it's just, we have this thing in our hearts that just goes like, I need to be validated. I need to be validated by my peers, by people that I don't even know or care about, but I need to be validated by them. Like, mm-hmm. We do all these things to be validated. And again, for convenience as well, I believe. We're talking about the food and stuff. And these are all reasons why people go broke. Like, do you realize that those 800 X amount dollars that you're putting towards that car, you could have been proactive, because that's the other thing, is reactive. When we got our Toyota Corolla, I think it was like a brand new Toyota Corolla. And the reason why we got it was because we had just bought you like this dinky like Toyota Camry that didn't even work, didn't have AC. You got pregnant and we were both like, there's no way that you can be in this car pregnant. Like that's ridiculous. And my car was no better and you can't even drive my car because it's a manual. So we're just like, there's no way. We have to go get a car, right? We weren't financially savvy at the time. And so we went to go get the car. And we got stuck in something and glad we got rid of it, but it was reactive, right? We didn't have money in the bank to be able to pay for a used car. And so if you have the opportunity to be proactive, that is the wise thing to do.
Yeah.
Have money in the bank. And if like, let's say your car breaks down, well, guess what? You got money in the bank. You can buy a used car. I think a really decent used car for like $5,000 to $10,000. We bought your car, which is a 2013 Honda Insight, for $5,000. And it's been great. We've had it for what, 4 years?
Yeah.
And it's been great. And so that you can find cars like that, you can. But the thing is your car pretty? Do people like turn in your car and be like, wow, Grace, you've made it?
No.
No, they don't. But now the question also is, do you care? Do you care that people don't go like, wow, Grace, your car says so much about you. Like, you're so rich. Like, you're so amazing. Like, you clearly have your life all together.
No, I think part of me does want a nice car in the mm-hmm. future.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope it's cash, so we would look super stupid right now. But and I know when that moment comes and they're like, oh, this car is nice, like it'll feel good. Mm-hmm. And just like with our furniture, like we got our furniture. And I think when people come and say like, oh my gosh, your living room looks so nice, like that feels good. But on top of that, it feels extra good knowing like we have nothing owed on this furniture. Like this is completely ours. Mm-hmm. We did it with straight up cash. And so if I get to that point where I have a new car and people aren't on, we did it like with our work, hard work, delayed gratification. It's like that so much worth it. Cause now my car is dinky right now. I need a car wash. I don't get that feeling, but I kind of brag or I'm proud of the fact that I don't have a payment on that car. Like right now that's, and yeah, when I see, there was times where I would see people with new cars and I'd think, wow, I wanted to be them. And now my thought has shifted and you have to train your mind. And it's like, I'm not like, oh, like putting them down, but I'm just like, oh, I wonder how much I have to pay a month for how long? Like, no, thank you. Like I want to have my $0 payment. And same thing, we were tempted with the Tesla. And for a while, we were like, genuinely considering it. Should mm-hmm. we? Should we? And once I just see like the end payment, I'm like going from zero to 400, 500, even more. Like, no, thank you. I'm content with my. That's my where I found my, I guess, validation. Like, we have a zero payment.
Okay, so you said that you used to be that person that saw somebody get a new car and you were like, I want to do that, but now. You say that you brag and you're happy that you don't have any payments on the car. Your car works fine. It gets you to point A to point B. It's got AC. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't have a backup camera.
Does that have a backup camera? I need a key. My key doesn't unlock the door.
Oh, that's right.
I have to open it manually.
You used to be like that. You aren't like that now. What is it that you feel like that changed? How did you change that? Because somebody here might be listening and just be like, okay, cool. You guys are telling me that I'm not smart for buying this brand new car. And now I'm paying X amount and I'm losing money on it. It's depreciating. Like, okay, like, thanks a lot. I don't feel good. But it's just like, how do you help those people? How did you get from point A to point B of like, I'm okay right now?
This might sound redundant. Because I'm a reference to books that we've already mentioned in earlier podcasts. But number one, reading the Dave Ramsey's Total Money Makeover helped me realize, like, why is it dumb, right? He really speaks to you like you're dumb and makes, like, calls you out on, like, do you think this is a wise decision? And this is why it's not. And it really breaks it down. And then number two, the Atomic Habits with it's an identity shift because you can't do the Total Money Makeover steps and all of it through for a long period of time where it becomes your lifestyle and not just like, okay, I did 1, 2, and 3 and then fall back without changing like your mind. Like, what do you think success looks like? Like, what does being rich mean to you? And once you start getting to know people, like once you kind of pull the curtain from people behind, you know, the Wizard of Oz where everything looks shiny and everything looks amazing. And once you pull back the curtain, you see like they're struggling financially, but they have a nice car. They're constantly eating out, but they have stress and they have this huge credit card payment due every single month. And they are worried because they cannot see themselves creating wealth because they feel like they're stuck there. Mm-hmm. Once you see that most Americans live that way and you pull back the curtain, you're like, I do not want to live that way. Mm-hmm. And so once we started getting the ball rolling and I was telling myself like rich people, and it's true. If you look it up, rich people drive Toyotas, Camry. Like once I saw that, I like gladly placed that label on me and I was like, I'm rich. I drive a Honda Insight, but it's fully paid. Like that's, and so I had to change my mindset of like society says this is rich, but in reality, this is what's rich and I'm there. I'm rich. And I probably like lied to myself, right? Like I'm not rich yet, but that identity. And so that started feeding into me and was like, yeah, most people are eating out and they're going and they're enjoying having fun. And you've had to tell me like multiple times, like Grace, but they're stressed. I'm like, but they're enjoying their life. They're enjoying their life.
Yeah.
So once we started having a budget and yeah, in the beginning it is sacrifice because you're learning a new way of living. You are changing, uprooting old habits that is going to be uncomfortable and starting putting new ones that is always going to be difficult in any area of your life. But once we started seeing the fruit and how I'm able to afford like all this furniture, I'm able to now like live my life and we don't even touch house money or like savings or whatever, has made it worth it. And I truly believe that God has blessed us because we were good stewards. I do not think God would have opened the doors he opened if we kept living in the past, because it didn't even matter how much money we made back then. Like, it didn't matter. It was our pockets. It's like the Bible says, like, our pockets had holes in them, and anything that came in would just like pour it out because we were such bad stewards. And so I feel like, yeah, maybe we could have had raises and stuff, but it wouldn't have meant anything to us until we became good stewards and realized this is how we manage it. And then that's when we saw like God's favor. But I just had to realize it was dumb, change society, and change my mindset of like what rich and wealthy is.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's traps all around us, especially with social media. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. There's traps all around us. It's exactly what you say. We see these families around us. We see these people around us. Oh my gosh, like they're traveling Europe, and oh my gosh, like they're on a yacht, and oh my gosh, they're like going everywhere. Oh my gosh, they just bought a new car, and oh my gosh, they're spending splurging on like all the name brands or whatever. Oh my gosh, like, and you fall in this trap of like, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be there now. Like, why? And then you fall into this trap of like negativity of like, why them and not me? Like, I want it now. Like, I don't want to wait. Like, if I wait, I'll feel like a loser for like these next couple of years working for like something that I want now. I don't want it later. And again, exactly like you said, you pull back the curtain because you don't know nothing about nobody's life. Yeah. You don't know how much debt they're in. You have no idea how much fights they're going through. And I'm not saying that there are fights. The point, what I'm trying to say is we don't know anything behind those closed doors. We don't know anything. We don't know how they're making their money. We don't know if they're busting butt. We don't know if they're doing great things or bad things. We don't know if they're stressed or blessed. Like, we have no idea. All we see is what they want us to see.
Yeah.
And that's where we get caught. And I remember you've talked about this, that you had to like delete certain people on Instagram because you were falling into that. You were just like, they get to do this, like, they're the same age as me. Like, how come, like, they make you feel like a failure?
Yeah.
Or you make yourself feel like a failure. Just like, I'm not there yet. Like, and then I always go back to the talents. The one had 1, 3, and 5. Like, why do they have 3? Why do they have 5? Like, we all started at the same time. Like, mm-hmm. why? Like, and it's just like, it's not about comparing yourself to other people. It's about the journey that God has you on specifically. And especially if you're listening to this and it's starting to pull at some strings, it's possibly time for you to start making those changes.
Yeah.
Because for me personally, I can't learn something and just ignore it. I can't. I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you. But like, to learn something, you cannot ignore it. The weight of responsibility is upon you now that you've heard this, right? And so it's avoiding those traps, and it's very hard right now, day and age. It's so hard to avoid those traps. If you're on social media, you're faced with those traps all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you're faced with those traps all the time and you get triggered by them, then it goes down to your identity, right? And I feel like that's what it was for us, is our identity is rooted in Christ. I feel like me and you, for the most part, we don't really care about what people think. Mm-hmm. I know that you get excited, you know, about the living room and you wanted to show everybody. And I don't, maybe it is for you like this, the same way of like this living room, we dropped X amount on it and it looks nice. This living room looked like garbage before.
It looked like a junkyard.
Yeah, but it looks beautiful now. And maybe for you, it is like the validation of like, this is all my hard work, but we didn't go into credit for it. We paid it cash.
I think it's just a testament of how long it was bad. Like, especially mm-hmm. the people who knew how long we lived here and knew how it looked before. It's just validation of good things take time.
Yeah.
Because so many times we see, again, we don't know the stories, but we see people getting everything quick. And so we want to get it quick. And it's like, we've waited and like, we're proud of our waiting. And it's kind of like a wedding when you have kept yourself pure and you throw this wedding. It's not to like boast and say, look at the wedding, the beautiful wedding I'm throwing. It's like, I waited for this moment. Like, I delayed I had delayed gratification and now God is going to bless me in my wedding and mm-hmm. like friends and family enjoy it. That was kind of like this for me. Like we waited so long and now we were able to do it. And now it's for our friends and family to enjoy and for memories to be built here. It's not like, oh, look, I'm better than you. It wasn't a status thing for me. It was our delayed gratification was worth it. And then now I use it as like a testimony to people. Like it took us so long, you guys. Mm-hmm. Like I expect it to take as long for you too. Like don't feel rushed. Like we did it and now we're happy and it's a blessing and not a burden because we paid it without any debt and credit. And so it shows us a testimony of like you can do it too. And so do it, like do it the right way because it's worth it.
Yeah. And I remember when the couch got delivered, I came home because the TV was getting delivered too. And I remember you started crying, like just happy. And that for me was like just, that was my moment. It, for me, I don't really care about the people coming here and like, oh my gosh, it looks nice. You know, like for me, it was seeing you cry and just realizing that you had waited so long for that moment.
Yeah.
And not only that, but also in that moment, feeling like what you said, like all the hard work has paid off. We lived up to that name of like delayed gratification. Mm. Like we did not go into debt. We did things the right way. Like, and it is, it's almost like a, yeah, like we're proud of ourselves. Like, it's almost like, I guess I felt in that moment, like God was like, you did good.
Yeah.
You done good, kids.
And you know? I think that's what God wants for us. He wants to bless us where it's just a, like everything from God is good and perfect. So when he blesses us, it's going to be a blessing. But so many of American Christians, we have that screwed mentality that we're like, oh, we call everything God's blessing. How you said, I have this lease. I have this max credit. My credit limit went up. And we see it as God's blessing, but God's blessing isn't going to bring like burden. Right. It's not going to bring slavery mm-hmm. and we disguise it. But when God blesses you, it's true blessing in freedom.
Yeah.
Like he lifts our weight off our shoulders. He carries our burdens. It's not like the opposite, but now we like, good job. Like God is blessing you with this and you're just now tied to it forever, cracking your head at how you're going to make the payments. Like that's not God's blessing.
And the crazy thing is that you just said, like, when God blesses you, he doesn't place, like, a burden or stress on you, right? But the crazy thing is that the way that people are wired nowadays, it's like we're telling them to have delayed gratification. Might take you 5 years to get whatever it is that you want, like a car or save up for a car or whatever. And I feel like for a lot of people, that is stress to them because, like, they want the status. They want the feeling now. Mm-hmm. They don't want it later. It's torture for a lot of people to wait later. And that's where like, I feel like some people are like in inner turmoil of just like, no, like now it should be now. Like they start praying even harder, thinking that God's going to snap his fingers and it's just going to fall out of the sky. And like, it's all going to work out. Like for a lot of people, a credit card, using a credit card is God like, oh, it snapped right now. Like it's, oh, look at that. Like we got what we want, but now you're a slave to somebody. Like God's not going to call you to be a slave to anybody. Like,
yeah.
And basically what we're saying is there's a lot of things that are set up. How do I say this without sounding like it's systematic or whatever, but like there's a lot of traps around.
I think it's spiritual. Cause I think how you said our mind now is wired where it looks bad to suffer in waiting.
Yeah.
And if we look at the Bible, even like waiting till marriage is torturous. Like you are engulfed in flames of desire.
But it's torturous just because we have that like sin in us. It's just like, just do it now.
No,
like,
it's not even sin. It's natural. Like it's natural to want you, right? It's natural.
Right.
And so God is saying like, yeah, that's good. Just wait. It's going to be worth it when you get married. There's going to be blessings. And so it's not bad, like me physically wanting you. It's bad if I lust and that's all I can think about and I let it take
but that's
control.
That's what I mean. Like we have that desire and it's just like, no, now. Like,
yeah,
and just give into
it. And God promises us and his promises are true that when we wait for marriage, it is so much more blessed and it's going to be so much worth it. Same thing when we're raising up our children And if we discipline them, it's going to seem torturous and it seems like they hate us and whatever. But he's like, just wait until they're adults and you'll see the fruit of your labor and you'll see that you did a great job. Mm-hmm. And like so many farming parables and metaphors in the Bible of if you just wait, it's going to be worth it now. Yeah. But we see all of that as like torturous. And I don't want people to think, because you said something that I was like, oh, I want to clarify, because you said that like status, gaining that status desire, that drive that makes us, okay, this is where I want to accumulate or work hard or just get. You said it will lead to poverty. Like it will always lead to poverty. And I agree. It always leads to poverty. It might not be even financial poverty though. Like you might get there. You might get all the status you desired. You might become CEO, whatever it is. But if you did it without God, if you did it in the wrong time, you'll get there and you won't be happy. You either lose your family, you lose yourself, you lose your peace, you lose your morals, your values, whatever it might be. And so I truly believe that how you said all of those distractors are there, and it's like the fruit, because you said, oh, we see the cars, we see society, we see technology like TikTok and Instagram, and we see it. And as you were saying, like we see it, like I thought of like just how Eve saw the fruit and how good and delicious it was, like appealing to her eyes. And she saw it and she decided like, oh, I need this now. Like God is holding up on me now. Like everything is around you. And in our life, we have, God has given us what we need and what we want. And it might not be like what I want in this moment. I want that tree and it's forbidden. And again, I said this before, we act as if God is holding out on us. Mm-hmm. And so when we decide to take it forcefully, get into debt, get into whatever, like I want it now.
Yeah.
We are making ourselves slaves. We just fell to temptation and mm-hmm. sin, where now it's our burden. He casts us out of paradise and say, I don't trust you anymore. Mm. You can't take this blessing that I had for you. You can't touch it anymore because you did it on your own hands. So here's work. Here is the sweat of your brow. Here's the sweat of your labor, where now your fruit is going to have like thorns and stuff. It's going to be a curse for you. Mm-hmm. When he made it for good, but we're not going to see the blessing. And we call it blessed because we're working and we're working and maybe we see it. But he's like, if you only waited, you have no idea how much more yeah. of a blessing it would be. And so, yes, the temptations are all around us. God doesn't tempt us. It's Satan or sometimes ourselves that we like choose to follow those people. We choose to stay connected to things that hurt us. And it's up to us to rewire our brain and say, is this going to be a blessing to me? Am I forcing it? Like, what is the pros and cons? And you've made me, like, I have to constantly, I know this is like one of my weaknesses. And so I constantly have to check myself and ask you, is this a good opportunity or am I just bringing more stress? Like, is this what life is for or no? Mm-hmm. And finding a balance and a routine for me and checking myself, like, I have had the most joy in my teaching career this year. Like, I am truly happy where I'm at. Because I think I've had to rewire my brain and say no to things and just recognize that God has me exactly where he is and not force things to happen. Like, I don't want to force anymore because I've done it in the past and I've been unhappy. And now it's like I see God's blessings and it feels nice.
That was very beautifully put. A good little speech. So yeah, let's wrap this up. So the gist of this episode is not that we're going broke. We're not going broke, but these are all reasons why people do go broke.
Yeah.
And I really want us to be what Instagram isn't. Mm. Again, people on Instagram just put all the nice stuff, right? And that's why we're having this conversation, being open about our situation. And if you guys, we always say, if you guys ever have any questions, we are open books. I don't think we hold anything back ever when people ask us.
Yeah. Well, I just to be completely vulnerable, because I don't want you guys to think we have it together. I told you this is one of my weaknesses. I feel like David is definitely my better half. Like there was a point where, and it was not in the, like, I can't say like 5 years ago. This was like the near past, like maybe a year ago, two years, where I was making extra income from my side gigs. You guys know I do like social media on the side. So I had like abundance. It was not Like, I wasn't in lack. And yet I was like, I wanted to be in that position and I dreamt of it and I'm finally there. And I feel like I don't have enough. I have to go to Afterpay or what? It's Afterpay mm-hmm. and there's another one, Shopify or something like that. And it's like, I've always wanted to be in that position. I'm finally in that position where I have extra money and I'm still like, this is not enough. Like, I need to buy and I don't have the money and I need to go. Yeah. And so like, you always think like when I'm there, I'm gonna be happy.
Yeah.
You always think that.
That's a good point.
And you get there. And if you're like me, like you're not happy. And so it's not about how much money you have. It's not about like what you don't and don't, whether you have the car or not. It's about like your mindset. And it's never going to feel like a blessing because I was like, I don't have enough. I have to go now do payments. And then you'd be like, Grace, why the heck are you, like you have money. Why are you on doing the Afterpay? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, thankfully I paid it back. I never had a problem with not paying it. But still it sucks like knowing like, oh, like and now I have to pay it and I'm getting money and I have to, it goes away. Like I felt like I couldn't really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so you just lie to yourself saying like, I'll be happy when I'm there. And you just like force it and you mm-hmm. can't control it now. You're not going to control it in the future. Like you have to practice the habits that you want to see mm-hmm. in the future. It's just for full transparency.
That was really good. And I'm sure that it resonates with a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think at the gist of it, having our identity rooted in Christ, mm-hmm. I think when we truly have that, the care of like other people's opinions, maybe it doesn't go all the way to zero, but the volume knob is probably maybe at one.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's not that much noise anymore. Like I'm fine.
Yeah.
I know what is right. And the Bible is literally like everything that we're talking about is in the Bible. Everything about finances you want to know about, it's in the Bible. Everything about patience is in the Bible. Everything about delayed gratification, it's in the Bible. Like the Bible is a manual for our life. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good book for us to read and continue to study. Like we never stop learning from the Bible.
Yeah.
And we gain our identity from Christ. And it's just like, when we get to that point, it's just like, we can follow this manual and just do all the right things. And just have that freedom.
Yeah.
Because I believe God wants us to be free. And a lot of people maybe have a skewed vision of what free is. But true freedom is like, you're not shackled by people's opinions.
Yeah.
You're not shackled by like this desire in you to like want more than God wants for you right now. Mm-hmm. It's all about your character. Like, is your character ready for more? Like, we could go, that's a whole other conversation. But like, the point is like, when we're rooted in Christ, it's just like, okay, we have this connection with God that's just unshakable and we're just content. We're happy. We're, mm-hmm. we're, we have that peace that surpasses all understanding where it's just like, yeah, there's times that are going to be rough. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We're going to have times that are rough. Sometimes we're going to feel like waiting is rough, mm-hmm. but knowing like, okay, we've lived through it. Like I said, when the couch got delivered and you cried and I hugged you, it was just like, that was a beautiful moment. Mm. That was such a validating moment for me and you. There was nobody else around. That was just me and you. Like, just like all the hard work. We tried our best to do things right. Like it came together. Like the vision came together. It's just like, it's beautiful. And we just, in this episode, we wanted to speak against all these things that people get trapped by and they get themselves in bad financial situations, which you don't have to be a part of. And we're here telling you guys that we really desire for you guys to succeed, to be successful, to be great stewards, to be great with your money, to be able to set up your next generations as well. Like all these things, like, this is what our desire is for you guys. And this is, I go back to the story that I said at the beginning. Like, I know that a lot of us, a lot of the listeners didn't get taught any of this either. We're learning this right now.
Yeah.
And if we could help you guys learn that as well, it's just like that for me is like, it's almost like I'm mentoring that little David, mm-hmm. but it's through like you guys. It's just like, I will look out for you guys. Like I really want the best for you guys. We want the best for ourselves as well. It's just like, there's just as a desire to like overflow, you know, yeah. like because there's people that are in lack and we don't want you guys to be in lack. We want you guys to thrive. We want you guys to have that peace that surpasses all understanding. We want you guys to be in abundance. We want you guys to be good stewards. We want you guys to be happy and joyful of the situations that you're at. We want you guys to be able to see the good that's happening right now, even though it might not be where you want to be right now. Yeah. To see that you're practicing all the right things and seeing the little progress and the little progress, because it's not going to be big, huge steps. It's going to be little progress and little progress. But when you get to that point, when you get to that summit, it gets you so bad, you know, like it gets you good. And that's our desire. We don't want you guys to go broke. We're speaking against it right now. And I wanted to end with, I was reading a book called Ego is the Enemy, and it kind of touched on what you said in the second last speech that you said. So it just says, it's a very small paragraph. It says, "For us, the scoreboard can't be the only scoreboard. Warren Buffett has said the same thing, making a distinction between the inner scoreboard and the external scoreboard. Your potential, the absolute best you're capable of, that's the metric to measure yourself against. Your standards are winning is not enough." So this is like the winning, the outward winning, mm-hmm. the status. People can get lucky and they win. Exactly what you said. People can be, I'm going to change the word to nasty people mm-hmm. and they can win. Anyone can win or have the appearance of winning. Mm-hmm. But not everyone is the best possible version of themselves mm-hmm. when they get there.
That's good.
And that is so important. We talked about this in the last episode, how important it is. Or in the second last episode, how important it is for us to be responsible to be the best versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. It is so important. And we want you guys, because we've said it as well, we want to get to those points. And maybe it's not exactly for status, but we want to be able to have nice stuff. Like you said, you want to be able to have a nice car one day with the bells and whistles that you want. But we want to get there the right way. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to pay for it cash, not go into debt, not lose value because we want, you know, the dealership way.
Yeah.
We want to do things right. And it takes time, but all that time, I guarantee you, is going to be worth it.
Yeah.
So we thank you guys so much for tuning in into this episode 28. We thank you so much for hanging out with us for 28 episodes. Our plan is to continue going and going until God shuts off the lights, I guess. But again, from me, my heart is really into this podcast. I know yours is as well. We want to help any way possible. And we're here for you guys. Message us, put a comment on there, at least a like, maybe a share if you guys think that it's worth being shared. We love you guys, and we will see you guys next time.